scores! Gilmore scores! The ball three left.
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Yell. Aguilla, rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Hey, let's get it going. It is Monday, November 18th. Flames Talk returns from our Groundworks downtown studio with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Good to be back on Flames Talk after a brief Grey Cup hiatus. We're back and we're as good as ever. I don't know if we're better than ever, but we're as good as ever, especially today. If we can get to as good as ever, if we can get to middling, fair to middling, I'll be happy. How we doing, buddy?
Oh, well, this is going to be awkward because I'm going to need a little of that Grey Cup energy because I have shoveled twice today. You go back 20 years, I have shoveled once over the past 20 years, twice today. What is this? Welcome back, by the way.
Yeah, this is what
we rolled out the white carpet for you.
I'm a little backed up after a 90-minute delay. I was supposed to get in right around noon. Ends up being about 1:30.
But they gave you the police escort. They got you down here on time. Good to go. I mean, but the best for you.
Shout out Park to Jet at YYC. Park and Jet, rather. Park and Jet. There's Park to Go and Park and Jet. I did Park and Jet. Shout out Park and Jet because I was the only person on the shuttle. Instant. It was great. That helped a lot.
Now, so I got to ask. Did you run the last two blocks? Because you sound a lot better than I did a few weeks ago.
Oh, no. They still don't start the show until I walk in. And then they're gonna,
what a privilege you have.
I do have that privilege, at least.
Weird that they don't start Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg until Pat Steinberg walks through the door.
20-plus years at least gets you that. Hey, Flames Talk back after our hiatus, and the Flames are back after a weekend off. They took Saturday and Sunday off. That was an exhausted group, and rightfully so, after that gauntlet they went through. They still only had the 2 days to get ready for Friday's game against Nashville. So it was still like you're still in that gauntlet and that grind. So they do end up taking both Saturday and Sunday off following the 2-0 win over Nashville on Friday, which I have watched now. And so I like the storyline that is going to dominate this hour, that's going to dominate the second hour. That storyline is Dustin Wolf picking up his first shutout. And it was awesome to see. And it was awesome to kind of follow along on Friday, just quickly check the score updates and the Sportsnet updates every couple of minutes to see what the score was. You're like, oh, it's still 0-0. Yeah. It's still 0-0. Oh, okay.
It was like that for a while.
62 scored. It's 1-0. And then you're like, oh, there's only 5 minutes left. And then in my head, I'm like, oh, wait a second.
But you didn't say it out loud.
I did not say it out loud. I didn't even say it in my head because I was like,
there's nothing up there. No,
I'm like,
just kidding.
Very true. I was like, there's 32's in net. Okay, there's I was just crossing my fingers, hanging with my nephew in Coquitlam, hoping that a weird one didn't get by him. Because Dustin Wolf had been so close to shutouts in the NHL twice in recent memory. Remember how close he was before Martin Pospisil took that? I still don't know. Why were you doing that 76?
I'm so glad you brought it up so I didn't have to, but I digress.
Pospisil takes that penalty late in game 82 last year against the Sharks, leads to a power play goal with like 90 seconds or less remaining, and Dustin Wolf loses his first shutout. And then 1 week ago in that game against Los Angeles, after an incredible save, video review, it was probably in. Eric Francis on his Twitter showed a really good angle. You're like, that was probably in. Okay. But still, he made an incredible stop, and it was like in by half an inch, and that takes away his shutout. So I was just so happy to see him close it out, get a little insurance, and see the Coleman goal go in. You're like, okay, I'm just so happy that he was able to get it because of how he got robbed of a couple of shutouts. And now he's finally got it. Good for him. And that was a really neat thing to see on Friday night. And they needed him in a 0-0 game for the vast majority. Ryan Huska admitted that they were still gassed. They were still fighting the cement legs. You could tell they were. That was not a picture-perfect game in front of them, but they gutted it through. They got the goal, and they relied on a really good goaltending performance on top of all that. They needed that, and in a 1-0 game, all it takes is one little bounce, and next thing you know, you might lose a game in overtime. So to see Dustin pull it out, close it out, good for him. And now we can say the 7-letter S word. He has his first career NHL shutout. It's 29 saves, and he earned it. Good for him.
Yeah, he was as calm and steady and reliable back between the pipes as I think we've seen him this year. You mentioned 29 saves, and it wasn't as if that like this was a 5-1 or 5-0 lead for the Calgary Flames that he was working with. It was 0-0 across the ice from a guy that is typically a perennial Vezina contender. And to your point, it was one of those, it's only going to take one shot to win the hockey game. It came off the stick of Miramanov. It didn't come off the stick of a Nashville Predators player. And you have to give full marks to Dustin Wolf for battling and to go head to head against a guy like Saros, who he's going to draw a lot of comparisons to based on size, based on the lack of height. But he went toe to toe with one of the best goalies in the league in a 0-0 game where you knew it was just going to take one. And for Dustin Wolf, that one wasn't against him.
I don't buy as much into the goalie versus goalie thing. I know it was a great storyline, but like the one goaltender doesn't affect the other goaltender.
No, you're right.
I never buy into that, but it was a cool storyline.
Yeah.
Knowing that Saros was starting for Nashville and knowing that's one of the guys that we see Dustin compared to a lot of the times.
On NHL, according to NHL.com, Saros is the shortest at 5'11". Wolf is the lightest at 166.
The other guys, Jonathan Quick and Tim Thomas are two other guys that I thought
you were going to go Alex Nedeljkovic.
No, I'd never really thought of that one, but that's not a bad one either. You know, just guys that kind of buck the trend of being the big goalie, which we've seen for the last 15 years. I mean, Tim Thomas was elite and was not the largest man. And, you know, Jonathan Quick was elite for quite some time and relied on athleticism.
I think he's coming off back-to-back shutouts right now.
Now, actually, by the way, he looks elite right now, too. His numbers are bonkers. But it was neat to see Dustin Wolf get it. He spoke a little bit after practice on Monday morning as the Flames get set to play game two of this homestand Tuesday against the New York Islanders. And after a couple of days off, Dustin Wolf spoke on Monday morning. Nothing changed for the Flames at practice, as you'd expect, and he's still feeling good after Friday night.
I feel good with my game. I feel confident. I feel confident with the guys in front of me as well. They make my life a heck of a lot easier. I'm being able to see pucks. Their sticks have been great through seams, and when something does break down, I've felt good to be able to shut them down. And at the end of the day, we score one more than the other team, and we're going to be pretty happy.
As a goalie, do you like playing those ones where it's like that next shot? It felt like that on Friday night, that first shot that goes in is going to be the game winner. Like, do you thrive in that spot?
Yeah, I mean, as a goalie, you probably want to have a little bit of a cushion, preferably, but that's not the reality in this league. And I kind of thought it might be going 0-0 into overtime. I've been there a few times throughout my career, and just happy we were able to get one and shut the rest of it down.
You came so close to your first NHL shutout against your hometown team, the Sharks, last season, and then on Monday against the Kings. So what was kind of going through your mind late in that game as you were trying to close it out and make sure they didn't score on you?
Yeah, I just hope we get a bounce the right way instead of it going the other way. But like I said before, that's the way hockey goes sometimes. Can't probably count how many times, not only in my career, but just in general in the hockey world, how many times somebody scores with a minute left or whatever to break a shutout. And it sucks, but at the end of the day, when you're winning games, it doesn't matter. But to be able to solidify it and be able to move on feels nice.
So good for Dustin Wolf. Picks up his first career NHL shutout on Friday. Flames needed him in that game as well, and he was very, very good. I thought the Flames were, again, a little underwater. Thought they were fighting fatigue still. Now, not the highest scoring team on the other side. It was a nice soft landing spot for for Dustin Wolf. Not taking anything away from him.
No,
but just like that's a nice place to go back to him after they went. He played Monday against Los Angeles, came so close to the shutout. Vladar Tuesday against Vancouver in that game. Then a nice soft spot to go to Dustin Wolf there. And I think we know who's starting Tuesday against the New York Islanders. And just based on the pattern, last time the Flames posted a shutout, courtesy of number 80, they went back to Dan Vladar. Well, this time Dustin Wolf posts the shutout. You can bet they go back to him Tuesday against the Islanders.
Yeah, I would have to think at this point it's a hard and fast rule that if you manage to blank the opposition, you're going right back in. You've earned that right. You've earned that privilege to, you know what, see how long you can run that shutout streak for.
This text, 960-960, text line always open for you here on Flames Talk. Kyle writes, Pat, I think Wolf won that game. The team was good, but I think without Wolf in that game, it likely would have ended differently. I agree. The Flames were fighting the fatigue. I thought they were still a little underwater, and that was a really, really big performance for Dustin Wolf. Good on him. And now he looks to build on career shutout number one Tuesday against the New York Islanders.
To that point, according to MoneyPuck, 3.36 goals saved above expected in that game. So, tidy bit of work.
Predators attempted at 5-on-5, outchanced. And outchanced at high danger, the Flames. Very strong performance from Dustin Wolf. Did he steal that one? Maybe not quite, but that might be the closest one this year to a stolen game from a goaltender. I still thought the Flames battled hard in front of them. For sure they did. So again, maybe some fatigue. Maybe the execution wasn't two thumbs up at all times, but still thought they battled hard. That wasn't a game where I thought they were so routinely outplayed that the goaltender just straight up stole it from them, but yeah, that text from Kyle is probably pretty accurate. If he doesn't have the game that he did, maybe things go a little bit of a different way. It's Steinberg and Vickers on this hour of Flames Talk. It's a Monday, November 18th. We're here in our Groundworks downtown studio on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast, and of course, live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's a Monday, which means it's time to check in with the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. Trent Cull joins us now. Last time that we spoke to Trent, Wranglers kicked off seven straight on the road with a pretty successful weekend in San Jose. 6-2 win Saturday, then second half of back-to-back 5-4 overtime loss on Sunday. Wranglers now 12-3-1. They are the number one team in both the Pacific Division and the Western Conference. The head coach of the Wranglers, Trent Cull, joins us now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Trent, you gave me the gears for not giving you the good lead up last week. So this year I was like, 12-3-1, number one in the West and the Pacific. I think that's a pretty good lead in, hey?
Yeah, that was a really good lead-in because we've lost a hold of that first overall in the league, right? So, you know, and I was expecting a little less from you today, to be honest with you, and I would have been fine with that. So,
well, I wanted to make sure that I impressed and gave your group its due. And hey, that's three out of a possible 4 points in San Jose over the weekend. Tell us what you thought about your group in two games this weekend.
Oh, no, I loved our game the first night. Traveled, got in late there, but the next day played 6:00. I thought we were on it. I thought we were dialed in the morning. We had a little light little skate just to get ourselves moving, and then I thought we'd carry it right into the game. I felt like we were sharp throughout. I mean, we had some hiccups, and that's going to happen for sure. But I really liked our game. I thought playing against an offensive group, the San Jose team is like a top three, if not top four, offensive team in the league. So we knew that they would be looking for some opportunities. And for us, you know, we know we would get some too. So, but anyways, loved our game. There wasn't much I didn't like that first night. And then second night, we were dull yesterday. You know what? I don't know. It was across the board. Sometimes when it happens across the board, it's one of those things where, you know, I got to go back and try to find a new way at a 3:00 game of maybe getting them activated earlier in the morning or, and then something different. But felt like we were a little rusty, but it was throughout. It wasn't just one or two. It was kind of just a dull. So, but you know what? We were up 2-0 after one, and we put ourselves in a good spot. I didn't like our second period. They had a couple minutes there where they got a couple against us, and then we were battling there for a while, and then again, we were 4-3 with a couple minutes left in the game, and they got one with 6-on-5. So It seemed like it was unfortunate. I thought Iggy had a good night, but it was like every goal that was scored was off a ricochet or off either us or off the other opposition. There was always some kind of a bounce or tip, so we needed to do a better job at net front. But overall, anyways, not a bad weekend, but I always want 4 out of 4.
For sure, for sure. Although, you know, you get the point against the Barracuda. Like, did you, even though you felt the group was dull, did you like the fact, like, how did you like the way that maybe they battled through, whether it was fatigue or whatever the case may be? Like, was the battle level still where you wanted it to be?
Yeah, no, it was just okay. Like, you know, we had a situation where we could win. So for me, that mindset is, we got to lock that down. We're 4-3. We got to lock it up. We put ourselves, and like you said, we had put ourselves in a spot to win the game with low amount of time left. And I wanted us to follow through that. Then, you know, then we could have talked about, hey, we need to be sharper, how we start, whatever it is, and then, you know, regroup for the next time. But anyways, we give them a point. Overtime, that's our first loss in overtime. So we'll learn from that, move on, and some room to grow, that's for sure.
Just overall, maybe a good learning experience or a good teaching moment for your group in terms of, hey, you know, whether you're on it or not, if you're in a late game up by a goal, you still have to find a way to close it out?
Absolutely. That's what we're here to do, right? We're here to get better. We're going to have hiccups in the road, as we talk about. We got a lot of young guys, and these are going to be things that happen, and that's okay. Like, that's okay. We're going to, you know, dig in and get better and, you know, do different things. And just if you want to, like, this is a good kind of little insider, but I'm just getting off the ferry to Coronado Island here now, because we flew out of San Jose this morning and went to San Diego. And we had a little team gather, or we're going to have a little team gather, and just going to meet and say hello over on Coronado Island. So half of the team right now is on a ferry, and we're on our way over right as we speak.
Oh, nice. You're on the ferry right now as you're talking to us, hey?
I'm on the ferry right now, and I'm starting to, what do you say, disboard or get off as we speak. So, and then we're at the bottom of this island, and I've done this before, and kind of taking the guys through it, and then you'll walk up the whole strip, and we're going to meet at the end. There's this Hotel Coronado. It's like an older building that's made of wood, been here for I can't remember how many years, and go there and kind of have a little meet. So it's kind of a cool thing.
Well, that's commitment that you're doing this while doing all that. We appreciate it, Coach. That is awesome. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's okay to multitask. We can do that. We can handle that.
That's good. No, we're happy to have you. And I know you got the team event, so I'm glad that we're not getting, like, right in the way of that. So that's awesome. I know that it seems like every week we're asking you about Rory Karens, but 3 more goals over the weekend, Coach. He leads the American League with 13 on the season. Like, there's a fast start, and there's kind of like getting out of the gates quickly, and then there's a guy who maybe has arrived and maybe has kind of planted his flag as, hey, like, I'm ready to be an impact maker night in, night out. Like, do you think that's the territory we're talking about now with Karens?
Yeah, I think so. I think Rory's, like, he's trying to show, like, you know, I don't mean to put this in a negative spot, but, like, Rory had a great start for a team last year. Actually, slow. Didn't play, and then first 6 games, then came in, and was like, hey, like, you can't take me out of the lineup, and which I thought was awesome. And then, you know, near the end of the year, I thought, you know, for his first year, there was it didn't finish the way he wanted to finish for, probably. So, but he took it upon himself. We talked about this, conditioning, his work level, everything in the summer. He took it to another step. And now I think he's starting to see those kind of rewards. And one thing over there is, like, goes to the dirty areas. He's not afraid to go to those areas and maybe take something that may not be as nice or as positive as a result. But a lot of times it goes in, and a lot of times he's got a nose for that net, and I've loved it. He's one of those guys who's been a checkbox for me.
Yeah, are you seeing a big step too in the confidence department? I mean, I would imagine that only just grows as he continues to put pucks in the net.
Yeah, you know what? He's put an A on his jersey this past weekend, you know, because we've had some guys like Galley, Gallant didn't play, and we've got a rotating group of guys, and so we didn't have another A, so it was nice. It was awesome for him to, you know, I kind of wanted to know that we appreciate him too, so.
That's very cool. I saw that he was wearing the alternate A over the weekend, which is a very neat little bump for him as well. Last one on him. Just how are you seeing him deal with the responsibilities of playing down the middle? Like, the offense is great, but what about the all-round game and how important that is at that position?
I think he's, especially at the start of the year, I think he's been doing a lot of the heavy lifting for that line. Like, he works really hard. He's always in good position. He's come back. And sometimes, too, like with Pelts and Huntsie, like, they're going to live on the offensive side of the game a little bit, and that's kind of sometimes what we want to do. But Rory's been very responsible, come back, played very, and he plays hard in those situations. So I think I've been really happy with his development, like how he's moving along, he's got a great brain. He's got a really good hockey sense. And, you know, I think guys like playing with Rory, too, because of that.
We are chatting with Trent Cull. He's the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. He joins us Mondays on Flames Talk with Pat and Aaron Vickers. Vic?
Coach, I want to circle back to something you said early in the conversation. Is Valtteri Ignatiev's nickname Iggy? Is that what it is?
It is for me. I think they've called him different. I think guys call him different things. But for me, it just rolls off to be an Iggy. It's kind of an easier one for me. And I don't know if I have the pronunciation of his first name down yet, you know, so I want to make sure I'm just giving it an easy respect, I guess.
I just want to make sure, because there's another Iggy in the organization that I think he might have the rights to. We'll digress. But in talking about Ignatiev, I'm just curious what you've seen in his adaption to hockey in North America and specifically to the American Hockey League, his first venture over here.
Yeah, no, you know what? And it's not like he hasn't played a ton of games, and that's not maybe necessarily the plan, but the other side of that, too, is cool. He's been really good, right? So, and he's doing a great job, and we always want to make sure that, you know, a guy is up and running in case things, you never know what can happen health-wise with this or that with the Flames, right? So we certainly know we've got that with Devin now, and I think just with Iggy that he's come in, and he's been solid. I feel bad that we didn't win for him here, you know, like last night, you know, because he gave us a chance. And that's unfortunate. But his adaptation to here in the North American game has been moving along in a fine process for me.
In terms of progression, I do want to ask you about William Stromgren as well. 4 points over the weekend. Just how much more settled does he look at this point this season versus where he was last November?
Yeah. As you know, we liked where he finished, but we knew that first few months there was going to be a big, just the same thing we're talking about, Iggy, when you're coming from Europe to here and how the game has changed. But talking about him, we love, he started a little slow here again. And then I think it's now the last 2-3 weeks, he's really kind of hit his stride again. We're feeling good about him. I think he's got his confidence back. And I think he's one of those guys that, there's small things to kind of tweak with him, and I think what will happen is he starts to mature and develop, get stronger, you know, and faster. It's just like, but he's a lot of really good positive signs about him being a prospect.
Ilya Solovyov, he's a guy that we've seen at the NHL level. He seems to be sort of right on the cusp. What have you made of his season, and where's the offense coming from with him? 8 points in 12 games. I don't know if I necessarily would have had that on my radar.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think I would have either, to be honest with you. But you know what? When he's on, he's snapping pucks. And it kind of goes to show you, it's not always maybe about doing something out of the box to create offense. It's just about being simple and solid and being a real good first-pass defenseman, advancing pucks to the neutral zone. And then offensively, too, he's got a good shot, and he's been playing a good way of getting those pucks through. And he's reaping some of those offensive rewards for it.
Just a few more with Trent Cull, head coach of the Wranglers. Trent, we'll let you get to the team event. We don't want to keep you too much longer. I ask you my mandatory question about the team coming up. I do want to ask you about seeing Dustin Wolf pick up his first shutout on Friday. I know you guys were traveling and getting ready to take on San Jose, but how neat was it to see your goalie for most of last year pick up his first NHL shutout going into the weekend?
Oh, you know, we're feeling happy, kind of proud for him, you know what I mean? And then not only that, but just being such a positive contributor to that team. You know, we've had some other guys do that in the past, but for someone like Wolfie, who's kind of had that, I think last year was like for me, like a transition year, you know, because he was up, he was down, he's in and out, but not really like solidified in any kind of role. And so I think, you know, maybe been a couple bumps in the road for him, but now to see him there and being there every day and now coming into his own, as, you know, everybody has seen within the organization, awesome. Just really happy for him.
What's your next test look like? You've got San Diego on Wednesday. Set us up for that, and then you're free to go enjoy your Monday night.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Hey, they live in a beautiful spot, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We're over here on Coronado Island, if you're doing some... this is kind of a cool place to be.
We've got 20 feet of snow here, so just keep rubbing that in, Trent.
Yeah, no, my wife let me know about that this morning when I had my toes in the pool there in San Jose, so I felt bad for her. So, but you know what? It's a little chilly here right now. It's about 18, 17 degrees. The breeze is coming off the water, so. But besides that, they're a team that's explosive, and they've got like one of the leading scorers in Harkins on their team. So it's a team that really plays on their toes. And what I mean by that is they're aggressive. They check aggressive. They're looking to score. They want to create offense. And sometimes versus those teams, if we stay solid, we'll get our offensive opportunities. But if you get into a track meet like the one night against us, the first night we played them at home, they can be very dangerous, so we'll have to be very careful with our game plan on Wednesday.
Good stuff, Trent. Appreciate the check-in, as always. Good luck. I know you got a busy week ahead of you on the road. We'll chat again next week, but thanks, as always, for doing this, hey?
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it. Hopefully you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Will do. We'll stay warm up here. Thanks, Trent.
Take care, boys. Bye-bye.
Trent Call, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, on a ferry, on the road. Here in Calgary, doesn't matter. He's always got time for Flames talk, apparently, which is awesome to see. I like that.
I just Googled Coronado, and forget about the temperature difference. I'm jealous just based on proximity.
Looks pretty cool.
Gorgeous.
And we're talking about Coronado in California, not the
But you know what? When I Googled it, I spelled it Matt Coronado's way.
Oh, is it
and
not?
It's Coronado.
Oh, with a D?
Yes.
Oh, see, it just popped up with me spelling it the way I spelt it, so I didn't even pick up on that. Trent Cull of the Calgary Wranglers joins us Mondays on Flames Talk, and he joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and deliveries available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time now for the Daily Flames Roundtable on this Monday. It's brought to you, as always, by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. And now the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our Monday Roundtable. Gentlemen, after his first NHL shutout on Friday, 29 stops against the Nashville Predators, I ask you this. I'll just put it out there, and you take it where you want. Dustin Wolf and the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year. What say you, boys?
Welcome back, Pat.
Thank you, sir. Good to be back.
I can't believe you missed Dustin Wolf's first career shutout.
Whew. I was just happy that he was able to pick it up, and I was happy that he didn't have it ruined in the last 90 seconds. I know you asked him about that. We played that a little earlier this hour. Like, just happy that he didn't get some weird goal review or bad late power play goal against him like he did the last two times he was close to a shutout.
Yeah, and that the first one was against his hometown team, the Sharks, which would have been pretty cool for him. But he had to wait a little while longer, but we knew it was coming eventually. And now that he's got that first NHL shutout behind him, I'm sure there's many more ahead. But for me, Dustin Wolf is no questions asked as we approach the quarter pole of the season, a finalist for the Calder Trophy. So if voting were to take place today, for sure he would be top three. If you look at the other rookie goaltenders, he leads the NHL in rookie wins, shutouts, goals against average, and save percentage. So case closed as far as other goaltenders go. For me, the other two finalists today, and there's a lot of games left and a long way to go, but you've got Matvei Michkov of the Flyers, who's at 15 points in his first 16 games. and Logan Stankoven of the Stars, who is at 14 points in his first 16 games. So the three finalists for me would be a couple of forwards who are pretty close to a point a game, which is really impressive early in their NHL careers. And then a goaltender who has been, if not a one, he's certainly been a 1A or a 1B in his first full season in the league, and his numbers are fantastic. So I think he's definitely a finalist. So we'll have to wait and see how this whole thing plays out. But Dustin Wolf is off to a great start, and I would say one of the top three rookies in the National Hockey League to this point in the season.
What I'm about to say does not take away from Dustin Wolf's start. But we are sitting at November 18th talking about an award that's far out. So yes, Debbie Downer. Hold on. I'm working there. I'm working there. Nothing from the cheap seats yet. Tell me more about the Grey Cup, pal. If the season were to end.
What a burn. What a burn.
I just wonder if Dustin Wolf's going to request Pat Steinberg never shows up when he starts, because he's a perfect 1,000 save percentage without Steinberg in the building.
The worst chirps I have ever heard in my life. Those, you are 0-2.
I'm not interested in your stats.
Three strikes, you're out.
Is this like expected goals?
Just whiff.
If the season were
you,
to...
You use expected
I know. Goals. I'm just shouting out Wes Gilbertson. He can't have an expected goals comment without Wes Gilbertson mention. If the season were to end today, I think there's a strong argument to be made that he is a finalist for the Calder. Wilsey, you named a couple of other rookies that would be in the running. For me, Lane Hutson is there as well. 11 points, all assists in 18 games for the rookie defenseman from Montreal, playing over 23 minutes a night. Not an easy task, particularly for the style that he plays, in terms of he's got his foot on the pedal quite a bit. But there's no denying that Dustin Wolf far and away has been the best rookie goaltender. And if he manages to find a way to become more of the 1A as opposed to a full-on tandem with Dan Vladar, where, you know, Dustin Wolf manages to see maybe, you know, 54, 56 starts, and he's still able to maintain his pace, then yeah, like Dustin Wolf, there's no reason why he shouldn't be a finalist. And I know it's a small sample size. We're only 9 games into the season for him, but he's already having sort of one of, if not the best, rookie seasons for a Calgary Flames goaltender in franchise history, with a 921 save percentage, 253 goals against average. Like, he's been everything and more that's been expected of him as he's made the transition from part-time NHLer, full-time AHLer, to just a full-time NHL goaltender. You cannot take anything away from the body of work that Dustin Wolf has had so far.
So, I mean, first of all, Wedley writes, Vickers doesn't like puppies, babies, or Santa. So,
I like puppies.
All true.
You don't like Santa?
I don't know if I can say this follow-up. He's not real.
Man, you really are just the grumpiest man alive.
Holy smokes, wow. Grinch.
We do have the Grinch over here. Apparently, he had to shovel twice today.
Yeah,
Wolfie.
You know what? I'm a little cranky.
He's just a cranky little boy over there. Anywho, so first of all, we've established that Vickers is grumpy. Second of all, yeah, guys, I mean, I think that it's November 18th, and
whoa,
yeah, it's early.
You can't
bury
me for that.
But I don't care if it's early. Like, I love the conversation. Pinder used to hate this. And so I love anything that Pinder hates. And he used to hate this when I would talk about...
I've 180'd completely now.
He used to be like, hey, midseason, who's the Hart Trophy winner? Well, there's still 41 games to go. Okay, stop being such a Grinch. I think what he's done puts him in there with the conversation with the best rookies in the NHL. I don't think there's any way you can deny it. You know, Stankoven's barely a rookie. He was one game under the rookie threshold last year, but he does still qualify as Calder eligible. Obviously, Michkov is probably your front runner when you think about it. I think Lane Hutson.
But he's been a healthy scratch, too. I mean, it's not like he's been perfect.
Agreed.
Torts being torts, though, to a degree.
Lane Hutson is one that I think is going to get a lot of love just based on the market that he plays in and the flair that he plays with. So I wonder if that's something that ends up being more of a story, especially if he continues to be one of the highest scoring rookies. But I just, if you're talking right now, like, is he in the Calder Trophy conversation? Without question, is he a November 18th finalist? For me, yeah, he is. Will he be a finalist at the end of the year? I have no clue, because obviously, and especially knowing how unpredictable his position is, I don't know. But it's not like being a goaltender and being a Calder Trophy finalist is completely rare. Now, it's been, 15-plus years since a goalie's won the Calder. That was Steve Mason in 08-09, so it's been a long time since one has actually finished first in voting, but there's been five goalies since that time who have ended up as finalists. So it's not like that is completely out of the question. And if he continues to play at this level or close to this level and continues to give the Flames the chance to win that he has on a consistent basis, then he's probably going to be third, second, fourth in voting, whatever it ends up being at the end of the year. So good on him for us being able to have this conversation and not be like, and not have people like be texting in, oh, you guys are a bunch of homers. I don't know how he could be. He's been one of the best rookies in the NHL through the first month plus of the season. The only thing that is big caveat for me, Wilsey, is that workload he's never taken it on at this level in the NHL, so we don't know how that's going to play out. We don't know what happens when he inevitably has a few rough starts in a row like every goalie, rookie or not, does. We don't know what happens if Dan Vladar gets hot and he has to be on the shelf for an extended period of time because Vladar's getting more of the starts. We like those things we don't know right now, but at the very least, I think you're pretty confident that he handles any of those situations if they may arise in a very positive manner, because that's kind of just what he does throughout his career. So, yeah, I think it's a real credit to him that we can be having this conversation and, it's not just a bunch of silly Calgary people having a conversation. Like, I think you could have this conversation in any market and make a valid argument for it.
Yeah, I'm on my phone and not in front of a computer. So if you guys, one of you can look this up for me. How many games did Stuart Skinner play in when he was a finalist for the Calder Trophy a couple of years ago?
So that was 2 years ago. That was the 22-23 season. He played in 50. He went 29-14-5 with a .914 save percentage.
Yeah, so, I mean, he definitely deserved to be a finalist. I think in order for Dustin Wolf to win the Calder Trophy, to your point, Aaron, he will have to become at least a 1A, if not a 1. And I'm not even sure it's fair for me to say this, because how they've been used has been a little bit different. Wolf has been used way more at home than Vladar has been. Vladar has been used in some tougher spots, for example, in the second half of that back-to-back last week against the Canucks. But, if I had to put a letter beside a number and make one guy a 1A and one guy a 1B, I think I would go Dustin Wolf 1A, Dan Vladar 1B, even though I do think that, again, there's been a bit of difference in how they've been used. But for me, there are three clear finalists for the award as we approach the quarter point of the season. And with all due respect to Lane Hutson, he's definitely got something. I mean, watching him play live and in person at Bell Center a week or two ago, whenever that was, I was absolutely blown away in the first period of that game. I thought to myself, this guy looks like Cale Makar or Quinn Hughes. And then in the second and third periods, he pretty much completely disappeared. So that's, I guess, to be expected from a first-year player in this league, especially at that position. But for me, he would definitely not be top three at this point. Now, again, a lot can change in the final three quarters of the season, so we'll see where the Calder Trophy race goes. But I've definitely got Dustin Wolf top three, and I think he absolutely deserves to be there.
So it is the Flames now one game into a four-game homestand as they get set to host the New York Islanders on Tuesday. And as we start a new week and coming off a shutout win over Nashville on Friday, and it just kind of it feels like a reset because they rested both Saturday and Sunday. There's no doubt, there's no question that this team was absolutely gassed after that long stretch. It was 5-8, and then it ended up still being 6-10 or 6-11 or whatever it was after the game they played Friday. So Ryan Huska, head coach, gave the Flames both Saturday and Sunday off, back on the practice ice Monday. So that'd be a good day after a reset with U.S. Thanksgiving 10 days away. I just thought it would be a good time to ask this question. The Flames sit in a playoff spot on November 18th. They approach the quarter mark of their season 18 games through. Gents, when does your brain start to think about them as a contender to make the playoffs? Like, when do you start looking at this and, you know, now you're looking at out-of-town scores, or now you're looking and seeing what teams below them and above them are doing, and now you're, you know, really starting to dial in on them potentially being a playoff team, which obviously was not a big outside expectation for many coming into the season. They've had a nice start to the season specifically based on the outside expectations. Like, when does your brain shift there, or perhaps has it already shifted there?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I've already started thinking a little bit about it. Now, I haven't started tweeting out screenshots of the Western Conference standings yet. I mean, I hope I get to that point a little bit later on in the season. I still think it's going to be difficult for them to finish top three in the Pacific Division. I know they're ahead of the Oilers right now, but I still think the Oilers are probably the more talented of the two teams, especially with their top-end guys. The Golden Knights are off to a better start than I thought they would be. They made a lot of changes from last season to this season. I wasn't sure how that was going to work for them, but so far, so good. And I still think the Canucks are a really good team. And if they were to get Thatcher Demko back, that would obviously make them an even better team. So I do think that I would put the Flames behind those three teams in the Pacific Division. But who knows? Because the one thing about the Flames, as good as they've been 5-on-5, there's still plenty of room for improvement on both sides of special teams. And I would say probably half of their top offensive players are really fighting it right now, at least as far as point production goes. So if those guys were to get back on track and start feeling it, and they could start playing better on both the PP and the PK, they could be an even better hockey team. I mean, I think you missed it, Pat, but Ryan Huska was asked, I believe it was by Logan Gordon. So if your power play had been working better to start the season, how many more wins do you think you'd have? He said at least two, maybe four. I mean, that completely changes the look of the Pacific Division standing. So, again, if they can get that PP, even more so than the PK going, and they can get some of their top offensive players producing, maybe they do kind of move into that group of four or five teams fighting to be one of the top three teams in the Pacific Division. But I do think that the Flames have more talent than people were giving them credit for. I think the coaching staff has done an outstanding job so far this season. The goaltending, which for most was the biggest question mark, has been the biggest strength as we approach the quarter point of the season. This is just a better hockey team than most people thought that they were going to be. So I absolutely think they are at this point in the playoff race. And if they continue to evolve as a team, they're going to stay in the playoff race. So I'm already looking at the standings and checking out what teams around them are doing on a nightly basis. And it's fun to be able to do that. I wasn't sure I'd have that chance this season.
Yeah, there's no doubting that as it stands right now, they're in the hunt, they're in the chase. And I'll even admit, I won't even go full Debbie Downer on you, Pat, on this one, where I wouldn't say it's every day or every second day, but I've been known to surf over to Money Puck and take a look at their projection, and the Calgary Flames sitting at 31.6% as of Monday, November 18th, ninth in the Western Conference. I've even surfed over to the standings, checked the wild card, see how the Flames are faring. But I don't know if I will go all in on are they a contender, what's their status, so on and so forth, until we get to that break in February for the Four Nations faceoff. I'm just going to watch. I'm going to sit back, you know, put the feet up and let's toss in another cliche, let the chips fall where they may up until that point. And if they're still flirting with wild card one or wild card two, or even find a way to work themselves into a fight for that third spot in the Pacific Division, then that's when the routine kicks from every once in a while to somewhat daily as we go wait after that break and you get the final push, the final stretch drive, you get past the NHL trade deadline. But for me, that doesn't take away anything from what the Flames have been able to do with their start. And to be honest, I wouldn't have expected, not that we're real deep into the season, but this deep into the season, they're in a playoff spot and still relevant in the Western Conference in terms of that playoff chase.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be through the quarter part of their season at the end of this homestand when they wrap up. I guess it's technically like midway through the Minnesota game. They'd be officially a quarter of their way through the season, but we can say after the Minnesota game, they're a quarter of the way through. And I think whether they're in a playoff spot or just on the outside, they'll be in the mix a quarter of the way through the season. And honestly, guys, like, am I surprised that they are where they are? Maybe a little, but I don't know if I'm like completely stunned that the Flames have been competitive, because I never quite bought into the, oh, well, they're going to be number 30 or 31. I was never there. And just the buzz in training camp and talking to enough guys and hearing enough people use terms like sneaky talented or stuff like that. Yeah, I just came away from training camp, going into the regular season, looking at this roster and saying, yeah, they're probably going to be competitive. They're probably going to be in the mix for a good chunk of the season. Now, I don't know if that means that they're going to be protecting a playoff spot, which, by the way, they kind of have been. I haven't done the exact numbers, but they've essentially been in a playoff spot through the entire first month plus of the season. Like, they may have been just on the outside a day or two here or there, but they've essentially been in a playoff spot all year thanks to the start they've gotten off to, or they got off to. So I guess where they are is only slightly higher than where I thought they were going to be throughout the entire year. And so I guess in my mind, I've kind of been prepared for them to be a competitive in the mix group all year long. And or for a good chunk of the year, the only time that I think I'm going to really change the way I look at things is once we see what this roster looks like, you know, a few weeks into the new calendar year, like what moves end up being made. Do they move out an unrestricted free agent or two? Obviously, Anthony Mantha is not going to be in that conversation anymore because of his unfortunate season-ending injury. But, you know, is Andre Kuzmenko a guy that they find a landing spot for or think about moving? You know, is there somebody that really starts to pound down the door on one of their veterans that, you know, maybe we haven't been talking about? I'm not going to start naming names, but, you know, maybe we haven't been talking about as much as a potential trade target, and now a team really is interested in that player. How does Craig Conroy go about it then? Now, that's when I think I'll really start to dial in on exactly what I think this final stretch of the season is going to be. But I mean, definitely, I think they're going to be competitive, Wilsey. I don't think they're going to be a team that is completely out of it at any point through the first half, three quarters of the season, whether they're a few points in or a few points out. I don't know, but they're probably going to be competitive. I still have questions about their blue line. I still have questions about their scoring. Their goaltending has obviously been great. I still have questions about how much time they control the puck at 5-on-5 and how much time they're spending defending. But they're comfortable in doing it. They're getting good goaltending, and they work their asses off. And that has been a constant essentially all 18 games. And when you've got two of those things, and you've got good goaltending, and you've got a team that works their tails off, you give yourself a chance each and every night. And honestly, I think the Flames do have a chance each and every night.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't think they've reached their potential yet. And I know that they're ahead of where most people thought they would be this far into the season. And we're not talking about 5 or 10 games here. You know, they're getting close to 20. Like you said, Pat, before the end of this homestand, they're going to be more than a quarter of the way through the regular season. So it's a decent sample size to work with. But I look at the power play and think sooner or later it's got to start to produce, doesn't it? I guess I've been asking myself that question for a little while now. But, you know, it was really good to end last season. It was really good, or at least pretty good, to start this season. And it's been in a long slump. I've got to think that's probably going to end sooner rather than later. And the teams tend to be really streaky on special teams. So maybe they go on a good run after this really bad run. And then I look at a number of their top players, and these aren't guys who you were hoping or who I was hoping would turn into something. They're guys who have been something for a little while, and in some cases, a long while in the NHL. You know, Nazem Kadri's fighting it offensively right now. I've got to believe that he's going to start to score some more goals and produce some more points. Yegor Sharangovich has fought it ever since he returned to the lineup after missing the first 7 games of the season. You know, the guy broke NHL records for most goals and points by a Belarusian in a season just a year ago. He's going to get it figured out at some point in time. Connor Zeri is doing everything but scoring goals and producing points, and he's putting himself in a position to do that each and every night. Martin Pospisil, not as proven a commodity as some of the other guys I've talked about, but certainly was a lot more productive in his rookie season. You know, he's tried to find himself in his second season, and I've got to think that, you know, sooner or later he's going to get another goal or another point. I know it's been a little while, but that's got to be coming sometime soon. So, you know, even if some of these guys can get it figured out and they continue to get good goaltending from Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf, I think they have the potential to be an even better team than they've been to this point in the season. So we'll see where it goes, but it's exciting that we're having this conversation as we get close to the quarter point of the season.
Thank you, Wilsey. See you Tuesday morning.
Okay, guys, drive safe. It's miserable out here.
It sure is. I can vouch for that. See you, pal.
Bye, guys.
Derek Wills, Aaron Vickers, Pat Steinberg, Daily Flames Roundtable. As we start to wrap things up this hour, Shan Vergie, Cam Hughes are outstanding producers as well. And the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you, as always, by our friends at Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.